Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. I'd like to read some scripture before we begin looking at this text. I won't be looking at it in great detail, but we'll highlight the whole glorious picture of God, Jesus, as our good shepherd. John chapter 10, and I will read verses 1 through 30. I think we have to have that in its context. John 10, beginning with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he's a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, those are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? At that time, the feast of dedication took place at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the colonnade of Solomon. So the Jews gathered around him and said to him, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, the Messiah, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Let's pray. Father, instruct us, encourage us, rebuke us when we go astray. Father, I pray this text just might come alive to us this morning, and that we might rejoice in what a wonderful shepherd we have. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, a month ago, I talked on this passage, dwelling more on the theme of, I lay down my life for the sheep. It was a time when we were celebrating the Lord's Supper. And really, it would be very appropriate for us to just dwell on that again today, because this is Memorial Day weekend. And again, Christ gave his life for us. But we're going to look at this in more general terms today. We're going to look at first a shepherd and some of the thoughts from verses 1 through 6. And then we're going to see how Jesus is the supreme, superior shepherd in all that he has done. We find that this is really in the context of dealing with false shepherds. But first, Jesus kind of sets the stage, beginning with verses 1 through 6. And here we find that he really sets the stage about the true sheep and the true shepherd. That a shepherd knows his sheep. When he calls them by name, they respond to him, and they know what is going on. They know the shepherd, the voice of the true shepherd. But strangers have a way of trying to get in by a different way. They can't get in the main way through the gatekeeper who stands in front of the sheepfold, so they climb over the wall or try to take out the gatekeeper. They come in, they have deceptive ways. It's all about themselves. Last month, we talked about the passage in Ezekiel 34. And we talked about this matter of the leadership of Israel and how they had failed the people. Just note that in your notes. Ezekiel 34, look at it sometime this week. It is a phenomenal passage. And when I saw it there a month ago after not seeing it for many, many years, it just came alive to me to show you the contrast between what the leaders of Israel were doing and then what Christ came to do. The shepherds of Israel, back in Ezekiel 34, the Lord is giving them a scathing rebuke. He's saying, you're not leading the people. You're not feeding the people. They're sick. They're downtrodden. And they're vulnerable. They're being destroyed. So where are you? You have abandoned the sheep at a time when they needed it most. And the people became easy prey to the nations around. And so here in our context before us, we must see the context. It's always important that we do that. We must realize that it's not just in isolation. In fact, the very words as he starts off verse 1 say, truly, truly, I say unto you. Usually this is never to begin a discussion. It's always kind of to end and to wrap up what has gone on before. We don't have time to look at chapter 9, but it's in the context of Jesus healing a man that was blind from birth. And the Pharisees and the religious leaders were all up in arms. They didn't know what to think of this whole thing and the discussions that Jesus was having with this man that was born blind, but he healed him. And not only did he heal him physically, he gloriously saved him. And as a result of this man following Jesus, he was kicked out of the temple. And so Jesus took this opportunity in the midst of this situation, in the context of these religious leaders that were taking advantage of the people, they were abusing the people and kicking people out at will if they didn't go along with their own teaching. Jesus now comes into this dialogue between the shepherd and the sheep and then makes reference to thieves and robbers in verse 1, the stranger in verse 5, and later on again, thieves and robbers in verse 8, and on and on. Who is he referring to? Who is Jesus referring to in these references to thieves and robbers? The Pharisees, the religious leaders. In verse 6, it tells us they didn't understand what was going on. But Jesus began pointing the finger, in a sense, and saying, you are the ones I'm talking about. I am here to help the people, to save the people in more ways than one, not only to help them to make their eyes open physically, but more importantly, to save them, to give them eternal life. And he's saying, you are the thieves and the robbers. You are the ones that don't care about the sheep, and pointing the finger at those religious leaders of the day. Obviously, this was a common profession of that day. A great illustration of a dependence between the sheep and the shepherd. They were so dependent. I mean, how many of you have ever raised sheep? Okay, that's what I thought. How many have ever been a shepherd? No, okay. Are we a shepherd in training? No, I don't think there's anyone here. But we understand the picture. It is a beautiful picture used throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. Sheep are defenseless. They are in need of someone to lead. Someone has said, sheep are dumb. Well, there's some probably application there as well. And so that's why it makes a beautiful illustration of the sheep. We are his sheep, sheep of his flock, and he is the shepherd. And so I'd like to take this motif and really expand that, because Jesus really, he kind of deals with that in a few of the verses. Obviously, he's not saying this is verse 1, okay? But he's saying, this is the context. Here's the sheep, and the shepherd. Here's what the shepherd does in caring for his sheep. He knows them. He cares for them. He leads them. But let me really explain what the good shepherd is all about. And so he goes on then in a discussion. He says, I am the shepherd, the good one. The emphasis is there on the good. He is the excellent one, the beautiful one. And he is there for the benefit of the sheep, for the best of his sheep. And he said, whatever the shepherd and the sheep do around you, I am the best sheep. I am the chief shepherd. I am the one who came to give his life for you. And so we find the difference between verses 1 and 6 of the common, ordinary shepherd in illustration. Now he brings it down to say, I am far superior to any of those shepherds. The good shepherd, the excellent shepherd, the beautiful shepherd is me, Jesus says. He is the perfect shepherd, the chief shepherd, the great shepherd. A good shepherd would do his best to meet the needs of the sheep, to care for them and to protect them. However, he would fail. But the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, will never fail us. He is the way into the fold, and he will always do what is best for the sheep. If you don't catch anything I say this morning, hopefully you'll get that. He is the way into the sheepfold, and he always does what is best for the sheep. I want you to understand this concept of the sheepfold. The sheepfold could be located just outside of town, close to town, or it could be located quite a distance from the town. And so oftentimes, as they're going along, they would build a shelter so that there would be a safe haven for the sheep to go in. Oftentimes, these sheepfolds would contain two or three different flocks. Now again, you couldn't put 150 sheep in that. But maybe if a shepherd came along with 5 or 6 or 10 or 15, at night he would take him in there. And maybe another shepherd would come along with another group of sheep and they would put them in there. Another shepherd would come along and put them in until it was filled up. And then there would be a gatekeeper at the opening. Notice there's only one way in. Different constructions, but one way in. And so that gatekeeper would then lay across the opening to give the chance for the shepherds to sleep. If there was no gatekeeper, then the shepherd would have to be laying across that entranceway. And that's kind of a picture of that. The idea that in order to get into the sheep, you had to go through the shepherd. In order for the sheep to come out, they had to go through. And so he was a key barrier between the sheep getting out and robbers and thieves and wild animals getting in. And so it's within that context that we see the beautiful words of Jesus when he says, I am the door. Some of your versions may say gate. It's the idea, I am the opening. The only way into the sheepfold, into the family of God, into the kingdom of heaven, into, as today in our economy, into the church, into the true church, is through Jesus Christ. Folks, that's an exclusive claim again. I am the way in. There is only one way in, and it's only through Jesus Christ. We read that as well in Acts 4:12. There is no other name given among men whereby we must be saved, referring to Jesus Christ. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So we see that his claim here is the fact it is a divine claim. I am the only way to God. I am the I am. And of course, all through this passage, you heard me read, I am the good shepherd. And so we're going to look at that, and I would like to just bring out some aspects that you ought to revel in today in what you have because of your good shepherd. So if you're taking notes this morning, go ahead and pull out that outline there, and we'll go through some of these here. And just again, rejoice in what a wonderful relationship we have with Jesus as our good shepherd through faith in him. The first one is the good shepherd knows his sheep. He doesn't just know them casually. We know that any good shepherd is going to spend day and night, periods of time, months with his sheep. So you get to know them very, very well. In fact, probably too well. And oftentimes, they had a special name for them. That's where I think he knows their name. Often they would be called like spotty, you know, because it had some special markings on it, or blacky, or whitey, or lazy, or straggler, whatever, because of their characteristics or their markings. But the shepherd knew his sheep, and they knew his voice. I've never seen it in person, but I hear stories that when they go to that shelter where the gatekeeper is laying across the entrance, the shepherd would go outside the gate, and he would call or make his own special noise, and only his sheep would follow him. The others would stand there like as if nothing was happening. That shepherd, their shepherd, would then come out and he would call them, and that group would come out. So you could have all kinds of sheep mixed together, but as soon as they heard their shepherd's call, they heard his voice. What a wonderful picture this is. And I believe that the Lord Jesus is really pointing out that these Pharisees and scribes and religious leaders of the day, they don't hear his voice. They don't know him. There's an intimate relationship there that is missing between the true sheep, those who believe in Christ, and those that are outside the sheepfold and outside the sheep. But what a glorious example. Paul writes about that when he talks about us as followers of Jesus Christ. I love what he says in Ephesians chapter 1. We read, he knew us before the foundation of the world. The good shepherd knew us. He knew our name. He knew all about us. That's glorious. Psalm 139 is a glorious psalm there where Paul's not that back then, but David wrote, he knows when I sit down and when I rise up. He knows our thoughts. He knows our ways and our tendencies. He knew us when we were made in our mother's womb. What a neat thought that is, isn't it? So the good shepherd knows his sheep. John 10 in verses 27 through 30 in our context before us, it says he knows, his sheep know the voice. When he speaks, we listen. And so maybe you're here this morning and you're wondering, I don't know if I'm truly a follower of Jesus Christ. How do you really know? When the good shepherd speaks through his word, we hear it and we want to respond. That is a very simple way, but that's the way we understand and know, and it confirms whether we are his sheep. So the good shepherd knows his sheep. The good shepherd leads his sheep. In verse 9, it talks about that, about how the good shepherd leads in pastures. Psalm 23 is really it's prophesying about the Messiah. This is God who is our shepherd, and really Jesus is the fulfillment of Psalm 23. He makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. How does he lead us today? He doesn't come out with a cane or with a shepherd's crook, but he's given us his Holy Spirit to indwell us and to lead us, to instruct us in his word. He's given us the word of God as the manual to which we're followed. So he leads us through his word and through the Holy Spirit's ministry. He leads us. The good shepherd loves and cares for his sheep. We see this love expressed all through the New Testament. When we find contexts like Matthew 9, when he saw the multitudes and how they appeared without a shepherd, he had compassion on them, and then he always acted. When true biblical compassion always acts, always gets involved, and he ministered to them. We read in John later on when he's talking about the death of Lazarus, Jesus wept. He cared about his sheep. Lazarus was a good friend of his. Oh, he cried. I'm sure he wept because of the unbelief, yes. But also, he experienced death. And so he knew what it felt like, and he was moved with compassion and wept. So Jesus, we find, is the good shepherd. He loves and cares for his sheep. 1 Peter 5, 7 says this, we can cast all of our cares on him because he what? Cares for us. So we see this expression throughout of God's love, Jesus' love as the good shepherd. But the ultimate expression was his death on the cross for us. So his love and his care is very evident. This morning, if you ever wonder whether God loves you, look at Christ. as the good shepherd, that's a demonstration of his love for you. The good shepherd tends to hurting or sick sheep. One of the things that I understand that the shepherd would do before turning over to the gatekeeper, if he was available, is that as each sheep would come in, he would look them over for wounds that needed to be fixed, for broken legs or anything else, you know, anything that was wrong with them, any salve that needed to be applied to an eye that was having problems. So he would look them over. He would tend to them, to the sick sheep or to the hurting sheep. The good shepherd seeks the lost. Interesting picture of a shepherd on the hillside or on a mountainside reaching down to get a sheep that had gone off and gone astray and got caught in the thicket. Well, I think I can't help but think about the Lord Jesus, and many times it's expressed of his, he came to seek and to save that which is lost. We find the illustrations in Luke 15 of the lost coin, the lost sheep, and the lost son. And we see there, remember with the prodigal son that had gone off and had lived in his own way and lived it up in riotous living, and yet he came to the end of himself and realized, this is not what I want. I need to go back home to my dad and back home to my family, and I'll at least be a servant there. And yet, as he comes home, as he's wandering home, his dad had been looking over the horizon and saw his son and welcomed him home. What a wonderful picture of God's love and of God's seeking the lost. We also see the good shepherd protects his sheep. We see the Ezekiel, as you look at that passage again, that the leaders of Israel, they were not protecting. When the going got tough, they ran away. And so the wolves would take over. And the wolves obviously were the leaders of their day. The enemies around them would just take over and wipe them out. And so we find, though, that the good shepherd protects his sheep. Satan, like a roaring lion, seeks us that he may devour us. I'm glad to know that my good shepherd protects us. Isn't that a wonderful truth? And also, the good shepherd has given us armor to fight against the enemies. The good shepherd is the only way for the sheep. Again, Jesus said, I am the door, I am the gate, I am the opening. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Throughout this passage, you really get the strong teaching here that Jesus could very easily have chosen a different path, said, guys, I don't want to do it for you. You're a bunch of rascals. You're nasty sheep. You're not worth it. And could have chosen to not go that route of the cross, but he willingly submitted himself. Remember when Peter tried to help the Lord? He cut off the ear of the soldier. The Lord said, Peter, stop. If I wanted to do that, if I wanted to conquer or take over here and get out of this situation, I could call legions of angels. They're at my disposal anytime I need them. But he willingly laid down his life for the sheep. So I'd like to bring this to a close with some personal application. What do we do with this? Obviously, we need to be encouraged. Hopefully this morning, again, you are encouraged by these facts of our good shepherd. But here's some things I want you to take away from this. Number one, it is not what you know, but who you know. The Pharisees had all the knowledge, and everybody looked at them and said, oh, wow, you're big stuff. You're awesome. They had a position of authority, and they were wowed by them, and they were just standing back. And boy, did the Pharisees and the religious leaders take advantage of it. They tried to impress them with their prayers, tried to impress them with their giving, and with all their knowledge. But that does not count when it really comes down to eternal life. We have eternal life through Jesus Christ. It makes a difference who you know. And that really goes to the next one, the next point. Sorry it's so small on the screen there. But Jesus is the only way. Very exclusive, but we see it here in this passage and over again. He says, I am the only way. I am the only truth and the only life. I am the door. So Jesus is the only way to have eternal life. So you want to have eternal life? It's through Jesus. There's no other way. You want to have abundant life? And I love John 10:10. Read that one over. Get a fill of that verse. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. That verse is not promising us riches and health and wealth and all that kind of stuff, but it's promising us real life. We'll really know what life is all about when we follow Him. So follow Him. Third, while God loves and cares for His sheep individually, He has established the local church as a way that His flock can receive care and protection. Sometimes I hear people, well, I wish I could see Him. I wish I could see God. I wish I could see Jesus. I wish He was here with us today. Because I really don't feel anything. I don't see anything. Well, that's why God has designed the local church. God in skin. Look around you. You have fellow believers, fellow sheep that God is uniquely gifted to help encourage you and rebuke you and point out you the truth and teach you, instruct you, and love on you. And He's designed it that way so that we need one another in the context of the local church. The local church doesn't follow all the patterns of the sheepfold and all that sort of thing, but it's the idea of that we're one flock with one shepherd and we need each other. So you want to receive care? Keep coming. Keep being a part of the local church. Maybe you say, well, I just don't feel it. And so you stay away for months on end. You're going to feel like you're out there without any kind of care. So stay within the flock and stay within the encouragement of other fellow believers. And then last, as the Good Shepherd, Jesus is the ultimate standard for all shepherding. He's the ultimate standard for all shepherding. And I'm just going to pull out my notes here that I had looked at here a little while ago. You know, as I think about the term shepherd, I love it. I don't want to be called Reverend Mark. You probably noticed that a lot of times I'll send an email to you and I'll say, Pastor Mark. I'm not trying to assert my authority. I'm not trying to assert my position. But I love the term pastor. There are three terms that are used of a pastor in the Word of God. Elder, bishop, and pastor. Elder is the idea of not a novice, not someone who just became a new believer. There's danger in that. There's a great tendency towards pride. Second, the overseer. The idea that is kind of over, the bishop has the idea of overseeing the congregation and taking care of the oversight. But I love the term pastor especially because it has the idea of this shepherding. Shepherding the sheep. Caring for the sheep, leading, feeding, protecting. And that's my role. And I take that very, very seriously. As we started the work, I put up a little email thing, MW Cares, because a pastor cares for his sheep. But folks, I will fail miserably. So don't look to Pastor Mark as the end all or the answer for it all, because the Good Shepherd, I could never take his place. He is the Good Shepherd. He is the perfect shepherd. But I, as an under-shepherd, have a responsibility to do everything I can to protect you, to lead you, to care for you, to see that you feed on the Word of God and come to know our Good Shepherd better. And so I trust that I will do that to my best ability. And you should expect that from anyone that pastors this church. And by the way, I have no desire of leaving anytime, like soon. But you may say, you know, I'm done with you. Okay, that'll come someday. But you know what? For now, I absolutely love this place. I love pastoring here. But you would not believe what is happening out there in our churches. Some of you have been from some of those churches where the pastor is abusing and running away and letting the wolves eat him up. And works are being destroyed because of stupid shepherds. You need to pray that I would continue to try to lead this work and care for this flock in a God-honoring way. I need your prayers because it's so easy to get off track and for it to become about myself or my work and about what's in it for me. But folks, I want you to know that I'm in it for you. I want to help this church to grow and to be all that God wants us to be. So my responsibility is to feed the sheep. And so anybody in this position must be doing that. Also, some of you are in places of shepherding, a small group, a group of teenagers, a group of adults. We have to look to Jesus as being, how did Jesus shepherd us? How does he shepherd us? And how does he say to shepherd one another? And so we need to look to the Word of God. We're not there to lord it over one another and to try to gain a position over everyone else, but we're to shepherd as Jesus has set the example. So this morning, let's go home today and let's rejoice that we have a perfect shepherd. Let's rejoice that we have the privilege of knowing that shepherd in a personal way. He knows my name, and I have a special, intimate relationship with him. And now because of that relationship, I want to seek the lost. Help others who are outside the fold to come to know my Jesus as the Good Shepherd. And then to do my best to live for him. Go all out for him and to follow him, his lead. Let's bow in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, it's an awesome responsibility to be a shepherd over this flock. Father, as I am your under-shepherd, I trust that I will do the best of my ability. God, help me. And I pray that each one that's here today, when we are in a responsibility of leading or shepherding others, that we will do so in a Christ-honoring way. But Father, you are the perfect shepherd. Thank you. Thank you for laying down your life for us. So undeserving. So tempted to wander after other false shepherds. And then we wonder why our lives are so miserable and so empty and so lost. Oh God, help us to cling to you. Help us to draw near to the shepherd each day. Lead us, we pray, in Jesus' name.